Parshas Nitzavim has within it the mitzvah of teshuvah, of repenting, for lack of a better term. Really, it means returning. One of the psukim, one of the verses that describes this mitzvah, at least according to some of the commentators, the Ramban, is as follows: Ki karei velecha hadavar ma'od, the matter is very close to you. Beficha uvilvavcha la'asoysoy, in your mouth and in your heart to do it. And the Ramban, as we mentioned, says that this is referring to the mitzvah of teshuva, of repenting one's wrongdoings by verbally expressing, verbally admitting to the Almighty what he did, and in his heart regretting it and feeling bad that he did it, and accepting upon himself that in the future he's not going to do it. The obvious question, at least to me it seems obvious, is why is this mitzvah referred to as something which is very close to you? Very close makes it sound, I think, as if it's easy, no big deal. You know, just say it and, you know, feel it, go for it. All right, so the saying part, obviously that really is not such a big deal. As a matter of fact, I seem to remember reading one of the commentators who discusses this. You know, what bigger laziness could there be than to not say the words of the vidui, of the confession? But it's clear from all the sources that discuss the mitzvah of teshuva that the main aspect of teshuva is feeling it in your heart, regretting what you did wrong, and accepting upon yourself not to do it in the future. So the question is, how could you call that easy? I mean, it seems like it's very well could be something which is quite difficult. So I was thinking, perhaps an answer to this question could be found in the work called Shari Tshuva, which was written some 700 odd years ago by Rabbeinu Yonah. It's probably the most seminal work on the matter of Tshuva. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes something very interesting. This is in the first chapter, at the paragraph number 19. He writes as follows. He quotes a pasuk, a verse from the prophets that says, "Umaydev izev yirucham," someone who admits and forsakes and leaves his sin, his wrongdoing, he will be shown mercy. Pirush, the explanation is, "Afal pi ki yisodos hatshuva shlosha," even though there are three fundamental components to tshuva, and they are, "Hacharota v'havidui v'azivasachet," regret, confessing, verbally confessing, and stopping to do the sin. Hacharota, so the implied question, he doesn't speak it out explicitly, but the implied question is, why does this verse, "and he who admits and forsakes will be shown mercy," why does this verse seemingly omit the component called regret? Answers Rabbeinu Yonah, hacharota v'havidui b'chol modeh. Both regret and verbal confession are included in the one word mode, confess. Why? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, ki hamisvadeh mischaret. Because someone who confesses regrets. Okay, that's the part that I would like to quote from Rabbeinu Yonah. And the question is, what does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says that someone who confesses regrets? On a surface level, I guess you could say the most simple way of looking at it is that if a person is taking the trouble to confess what he did wrong to the Almighty, so then it must be that he feels bad about it, at least to some extent, because why would he bother confessing? However, I would like to suggest, based on an idea that I heard on a recording from Rav Yaakov Weinberg, he once said that the words of our tefillahs, of our prayers, were instituted, the Rambam tells us, by the greatest sages, amongst them a number of prophets, among a number of Nevi'im. And Rav Yaakov Weinberg explained that really it's quite an audacious thing to enact a particular text of prayer that is going to be relevant and expressive and serve as a proper vehicle for all of the billions of Jews that will live from that point in time, which was roughly some 2,400 years ago, or maybe a little bit less than that. For every single person, for all time, in all situations, how could you possibly, quote unquote, dare to enact a set text that will include everything? And that's why he explained, the Rambam says that a number of prophets were included in this compilation, in this composition, because only with the power of prophecy could you possibly pull off such a feat. And he explained that the words of our prayers that were enacted by those great sages and prophets of so many generations ago carry an incredible power. In other words, you don't necessarily have to infuse them with your intent as much as allow them to carry you and naturally bring out the feelings, emotions, experiences, etc. that you have within you. And really all you need to do that, I mean, obviously you have to understand what you're saying in order for that to work. That definitely is a basic, and it's very important to try one's best to study the tefillahs, to study the prayers, and try to understand them to the best of one's ability. Not necessarily to learn extensive commentary, but just to know what the words mean. And then beyond that, it's necessary to say them in a calm, deliberate manner, so that you're not kind of just rushing through it to get it over with. Because if you are, then your emotions really don't have enough time to latch on, if you will, to the power that is latent and inherent within the words. So, but if you do say the words, and you just say it without trying to make any forced effort of, you know, great devotion or feeling, etc., you just say them in a straightforward, simple, deliberate, earnest manner, the words will carry you. It will bring out for you those feelings that are inherently within you. And if this is relevant the whole year round when it comes to davening, I think it's particularly so when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't say the Vidui, we do the confession on Yom Kippur, but it's in this week's Parsha that it's important to recognize that although there's a long list of items in the Vidui, in the confession that we say on Yom Kippur, it's important to realize that more important than saying every single item is saying it at a pace and in a manner that will allow the words to tap in to the inner feelings that you really do have. So what does that mean on the practical level? Certainly at some point on Yom Kippur, one should go through the entire confessional, through the entire list, at least one time. But if you'll take note, we do it 10 times. We do it 10 times. So if you find that the pace of the davening is too quick for you to be able to say it in a way that you could, you know, and again, there's no need to try to force any feelings of devotion or intense emotion, etc. Just say it in a simple, straightforward, down-to-earth, earnest manner, right? Whether you wind up crying or not, that's not really the main point. The main point is that you're trying your best, and you're doing it in a way that the words can tap into those emotions that you do have inside of you. By saying the words, they will arouse that emotion for you. They are a powerful vehicle, but if you're too focused on saying every single item and just getting through it, then that won't necessarily work. So basically, practically, what one should do, I think, is that, yes, at some point over Yom Kippur, one should make an effort to say the entire list, but for the rest of the times that one says it, then you should just go at your own pace, and if you have to skip a few, so skip a few. When you're doing your own davening, so obviously you can go at your own pace, and therefore there's no reason not to say all of them. Where it really becomes an issue is during the repetition, when the whole congregation is saying it together, and sometimes it goes a little bit fast. That is the silent part, where everybody's, you know, saying the Al-Khayt and hitting their chest lightly. So at that point, there's no... It's more important to say the ones that carry the most relevance for you in a deliberate, not necessarily slow, but a, you know, slow enough that you feel like you're talking and not mumbling or rambling or just, you know, talking like the Micro Machine Man. Say it slow enough that you could tap into it. And again, it's very worthwhile, it's very recommended to take the time before Yom Kippur to sit down with the sitter, open it up, go through the list, and check off the ones in your sitter that you're going to be using. And if you don't have your own private sitter, you should go buy one, assuming that you can afford it. And if you can't, so then just make a Xerox copy and check it off there. And check off on the list the ones that you feel are the most relevant to you. And by the way, this is already mentioned by many of the halachic authorities. If you feel that there are some items that are not on the list that for you should be on the list, then by all means put them in and say them. Because the text was formalized to make it available for everybody, but that's not to the exclusion of adding in your own items of confession if you feel that that's relevant and necessary for you. And if we do this, then hopefully we will be successful in tapping into the power of this tremendous vehicle called the text of prayer that was given to us, that it can bring out our emotions for us. Because when a person says the words, it arouses that emotion for him. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And everybody should have a wonderful, sweet new year.